The word of the Lord is, prepare ye, O Zion, a way for our Lord in the desert. We're going to sing prepare again and again. A few weeks from now, you're going to be singing joy to the world. And right there in the second line of that great carol, it says, let every heart prepare him room. What are we talking about? Deck the halls with boughs of holly? Is that the kind of... Of course not. You know it's deeper than that. But there it is, all this preparation, and you're busy. It's Christmas. But somewhere deep inside here, there must be a preparation which is different from all that work. Surely, the gospel is speaking to us about some other kind of preparation. Prepare him room. Now here's a problem. Inside our ordinary personality, in our stable personality, we don't have room for anything more at all. We're all full up. I mean, we don't have it. They say there wasn't room in the inn for the baby? Hey, in our stable personality, there wouldn't be room in the haycroft, there wouldn't be room in the closet or the cupboard or even in our cup for one thing more. We're all full up with what? We're all full up with ideas, with thoughts, with our feelings, with our reactions, with our intentions. We are full up to here with our plans, our way. People may approve of our plans and our way more or less, but we're pretty full up. And so it is very hard to prepare him room. We don't really know how, oftentimes. I want to offer you two ideas today for how to take the Advent blessing of preparing room deeper, deep inside. Prepare him room. The first thing it means is just to see the way we really are, to see that we're all full up with judgments and beliefs, feelings and thoughts. We are more complicated than animals, but most of the time we're working a lot like our creature brothers and sisters, which is to say, the world shows us something and we react. We're all full up. There isn't room for a different choice, and we ought to just see it. We ought to see ourselves. We can actually just look, just behold ourselves the way we really are, see our stacked up thoughts and beliefs like they are in a crowded room in our house and see that the whole house is like this. Just see it. I don't mean judge it. We'll talk about that a little more. I'm not very interested as a cure of souls, an old idea for the work of pastors. I don't believe it works to be highly judgmental. In fact, look around. Look at all the judgments that we levy against one another. Look at all the judgments we levy against ourselves. We're furiously self-critical. But does it lead to change? Not very much. In fact, so little that we have to hold out a funny question. Is it possible that all our self-judgmental and other judgmental ways of being is a kind of a, I don't know, kind of a game that we have to collude with one another in changing nothing? We pretend with all our language about how other people should change or how I should change, that it's all going to change and nothing much ever changes, not in politics, not in our personalities. We're all full up. We don't know how to make room. And so we should just see it, see ourselves as we are. Many hundreds of years ago, Rumi, Jalal al-Din Rumi, a Sufi mystic from the Middle East, wrote a great deal of very wise things. Here's a little story, just this long. The lion accompanied a hare to the well, and he looked in. And the lion saw his own image reflected in the water, and beside him, in the water, a plump hare. And no sooner did he spy his enemy than he left the hare, who was really there, and he sprang into the well, and he fell into the pit which he had dug. His aggression recoiled on his own head. Oh, reader, many of the faults you see in others are in fact your own reflected, your own faults reflected in the other. In them you see all that you are, your hypocrisy, your iniquity, your insolence. It's really your own faults that you are criticizing, but you do not see them as clearly in yourself, or you would hate yourself with all your soul. Like the lion who sprang at his image in the water, you are only hurting yourself, O foolish people. When you reach the bottom of the well of your own nature, then you will know that the wickedness is in you. As the prophet said, the faithful are like mirrors to each other. That's a hard judgment, but it's seeing truly, and that's the beginning of preparing the way. But there's a second action. Clear the way. Open the room. Pull the stuff out. How do you do this? How do you actually do it? It has to become a practice in your life. Actually, to pull your thoughts back from their attachments, to just be an openness, to stop knowing so darn much about other people. At least sometimes. You can't just plain stop feeling or just plain stop thinking, but you can sometimes. And this is the key to which all the choirs of spiritual wisdom sing. You can sometimes. You can at command pull back. In the middle of a fight with your wife, your husband, your child, your coworker, in the middle of it, you can. You have the freedom to stop thinking you know. You have the freedom. It's not always the right thing to do, but it's always a possibility. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're a novice. See it. It's okay to be a novice in spiritual things. That's fine. But know that the world has been giving you some wisdom for thousands of years. You have the freedom to make a space between what happens to you and how you choose to respond to it. There is space in there, and that is the room that God is asking you to prepare. To prepare the space between what happened to you and how you respond to it. So first, we have to see ourselves as we are. Others will be a mirror, as Rumi says. And then we begin the practice, daily practice of pulling ourselves away from our thoughts and our feelings and our judgments, and letting that space of not knowing be the precious place in which Christ would be born. We're sort of afraid of this. We're not sure what's out there in the emptiness of not knowing. But I leave you with this thought. The alternative, the one we're mostly running our lives on, is so far as the world looks pretty bad to us, whether it's somebody else doing something to us or we ourselves, so far as we're judging the world, it's as if we were walking along a path that we don't want to be on. looking through the woods at the path we think we're supposed to be on, or we think somebody else is supposed to be on, our brother who's drinking too much, and we think, well, you know, it happened back there in the past, and he should be on a different path than he's on, and he's on a terrible path, or I'm on a terrible path, and we're walking our way. We're walking our way, wishing we were over there, wishing our whole society was over there sometimes. That's what social justice voices are like. Should be over there, not here. But when the space opens up that I'm talking about, the spiritual practice which we're learning on Wednesday nights here, a practice in meditation to open the space for God to enter in, something emerges, sometimes only for a flash, and it's this. There is no other path than the one that I'm on. All of that is an illusion. It is not real. It's misery to think it's real. Every painful thought you have is based in the illusion that you should be over there. No. You should be here, looking there. You can do this if you will prepare him room to act in your life, to bring you into the present where you're no longer feeling guilty about the past and afraid it's going to ruin your future. If the past has passed, then the future is open, and you can be present to God. And that is the best Christmas presents you could ever wish for. Amen.